Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
I want to talk about this idea that has been mooted in the UK, and that is that leading universities, so the likes of your Oxford and your Cambridge, that they should take no more than 10% of students from private schools. You might ask, why are they being urged to do that? They want to try and expand access to Oxford, to these kind of, so-called top universities. But also, they want to try and improve access as well to some of the more so-called elite professions. So the legal world and the medical world and so on, and finance and all of that. They want to try and make it much more appealing to a broader background of people. It's an interesting idea. It's not something that has been mooted in Ireland, but I do think it is worthy of discussion. Graham is with us on the show today. Graham, what's your thoughts on restricting the number of students from private schools to universities?
I probably have a more extreme solution, to be honest. I don't think there should be any private schools.
None at all?
None.
Why?
At all. Because the vast majority of the people who hold the most political power in our country, them and their children attend private schools. They are less invested in our public system. We currently have the worst funded public system in the OECD, with one of the best outcomes, which imagine if we hit average funding, the outcomes we could potentially produce. I don't think people should be able to buy that level of educational advantage in private school.
All it does is
entrench generational wealth. And I know it's the extreme, most people wouldn't agree with this, it's not something that's going to happen. But if it were to happen, then it would go an enormous step towards creating that level of playing field of access to third level.
Right.
And it would be based on merit, not on how small classes mommy and daddy were able to buy for you. None of this is a dig at people who do use private schools.
What about access? Because I know from chatting to people here on the show, Graham, on a regular basis, anytime we talk about private schools, a lot of them will tell me often they have to send their children, or they did send their child to a private school because there wasn't one closer to them.
Yes, but if they're public schools, then those private schools would be public schools, so the level of access wouldn't change. Other than there is now not a financial barrier to going into those schools.
So just ban them entirely, get rid of them, yeah.
Absolutely.
How much do you think that'll cost the public sector, the taxpayer, if we were to get rid of?
Well, firstly, the public sector already funds the vast majority, pays all the wages and things like that of the staff inside in private schools. I think it would cost? Yes, but the vast majority of the expense, that is what it's covered by. If it were, how much would it cost? I don't know. Do I be honest? Decidedly less than 14 billion we're about to be put in our pockets. And ultimately, do I think it is something worth paying because it would have a beneficial effect on society over time? Because educational attainment then would be based on merit, not based on generational wealth.
The only thing, though, take your point around secondary schools and private schools, and definitely chat about that another day. But just with regards to the universities, right, and this cap, I should say it's not definitely coming in the UK. It's something that the top universities have been urged to look at off the back of a review or recommendations from some professors in sociology. But the difference here is that our college application system is quite different in that, you know, Andrea Gilligan or, you know, Graham, whoever, Joe Bloggs, applies through the CAO based on a number and the points that I get. Who my parents are, where I live, what school I went to, utterly irrelevant when it comes to applying for college in Ireland, Graham.
Yes, but it does make it significantly easier to get those points if you've been in a school that can offer more subjects, that has smaller class sizes, that has greater resources, etc., etc., etc. That is it the only arbiter of who gets what points? Of course not. But does it help? Like if you're doing Leaving Cert English and your class has 12 students in it, and you're doing Leaving Cert English and your class has 30 students in it, well, one of those cohorts is getting more direct attention from the teacher. The quality of teaching is the same. But I mean, just mathematically, there's no getting around that.
What about you, Lucy? Do you think this idea or plea in the UK urging universities to put a cap on the number of students from private schools, is it a good move?
Well, I think you're looking at two highly different education systems. We don't have league tables for a start, so a lot of the time people will try and attempt to get their children to school in the UK based on where you know, kind of they move to the area where the best schools are. And as you already said, the UCAS system is very, very different to the Irish entry. I think it's we've a fairer system over here for getting. While I agree that smaller class sizes can help, as you know, Andrea, I've kids on both sides. My two eldest daughters are in public school, and Mark had to go to a private school because I had no choice. So,
okay.
And so I have both sides of the coins, and I have one. You know, my second daughter is incredibly bright, wants to do architecture. I'll have absolutely no doubt that she absolutely will end up there because that's the type of child she is. So does putting them into a private school guarantee that, number one, you're going to have a child whose school is right for them and that form of learning is the right place for them? Possibly not.
No,
you know,
it doesn't
just
at
because
all.
They go to a certain private school doesn't mean they're automatically going to get medicine. You see, absolutely not. Of course not. So, you know, it very much depends on the child. Can you have highly successful children who never go to university? Of course you can. So, you know, I think it very much depends on the individual. Does access to money help with regards to grinds and access to that kind of thing? Yes, of course it does. That's a reality. But my son's going to private school. Listen, I'm by the neck of my collar. He isn't getting grinds because I can't afford to do it. But is he a child who's really willing to work and will do well in his chosen field? Absolutely. And my youngest fellow won't be going to private school if I can help it. He'll go back into the public system. So I think if you're trying to compare the Irish education system, the UK education system, you haven't got many parallels to go on.
No.
You know, and yes, we are highly underfunded, but we have many, many very gifted teachers who are, despite the lack of funding, are helping our children excel. And should that not what be the focus beyond? You know, getting mentorships from companies that go into every school, not just private feeding schools, you know, secondary schools that might be in a lower socioeconomic area, to encourage these children to dream big. I went to college with the guy who was the first guy to ever graduate university in Pierce Street. And he is now highly successful. He's a lovely, lovely guy. And boy, does he work hard.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. It's the individual. If the individual wants to achieve something, they will achieve it. Yes, it might be a bit harder, but it will stand to them in the long run because they're resilient, because they know this is the work I had to put in. If you have a child who's willing to put the work in, and if luck is on their side, because the Leaving Cert is a luck of the
draw. Yes, there is absolutely, you know, modicum of a luck involved on the day. What about you, Martina? Do you think is this an approach that perhaps we should maybe one day look at?
Well, 2 points, I suppose. First of all, I think I'd agree with your first caller. It was Graham, was it?
Graham's still with us, yeah.
I personally would agree with the same thing. It's important to point out, you know, taxpayers are actually funding a lot of the salaries in private schools, and I personally would have an issue with that. I think private schools, for many people, it's the social connections that actually are considered important. And that's the reason some people put their children into private schools. But going back to the British system, I think you also have to take into account that there's two types of private schools in Britain. There's what's incongruously called the public school, a public school such as Eton, which is, of course, it is a private school, but it's called a public school. And then the other private school. So you actually have two layers of private schools in the UK. And, you know, a lot of those in the what they call public schools, but which are in fact the elite private schools, are probably the ones that would be getting into Oxford, Cambridge. And I don't know the capping, you know, you're kind of replacing one bad idea, one sense of exclusiveness with another equally bad idea. You shouldn't really be excluding anybody who wants to go to university and who gets what they need to complete their, you know, to get into university.
Yeah.
You shouldn't really be excluding them. So I think in the whole, it isn't a good idea. I mean, it's replacing a kind of an exclusiveness that has existed probably for generations in the UK with just a kind of a headline grabbing idea that might, it's just populist, but it's really not very, it's not fair and it's not effective. And I think change has to start in the schools, as Graham mentioned. And in the UK, I think you have a huge gap between, say, the exclusive what are called public schools, then you have private schools, and then you have the state schools. And maybe it's the funding and it's the options in the state school that schools that should be looked at rather than anything else.
Brian Mooney is a guidance counsellor and Irish Times education columnist. Brian, do you think that this move or this call in the UK, would it help to balance that sort of social imbalance that exists in the education system?
I don't believe it would. And I mean, first of all, let's get a few facts clear. Talking about the Irish education system being the lowest funded, that's based on gross national product, which of course includes the income from multinationals, which distorts everything. So effectively, those figures are not accurate in the sense that the amount of money that actually goes in, if you look at it in terms of excluding that those kind of incomes. Secondly, there's no such thing as a private school. What there is a group of schools who back in the 1960s chose to not take the government at the time £25 per year offer to actually go into what is the free education system. They just were the people who didn't go in, and they are still sitting there. And obviously in some geographic areas, particularly in South Dublin, there is no other schools other than those schools, so parents have no choice. If you were to close them down, all you would do is lead to the massive expansion of grind schools or schools that are totally outside the school system that are absolutely packed to the gills, have been closed for months for anybody trying to get into them for this year. So parents, any parent is going to spend their money to the best of advantage of their own children. They always will and they always do. In the Irish system, because we have the CAO point system, effectively, as you say, Andrea, it's an anonymous number. They spend it on grinds. In the UK, they spend it on prep for the UCAS application in terms of the personal statement, in terms of the interview, etc. Yeah. So effectively, communications companies in the UK, there are huge communication companies whose sole function is helping people prepare for the interview and helping them write. Helping them, they write the bloody thing for them. You know, so effectively, if you move away from a system based on the CAO simply identified, parents will find whatever way they have to ensure that they get, as far as they're concerned, the best deal for their children. And effectively, that's where we stand on this. So if you look at the proposal in the UK, you know, we have situations where in systems where priorities given to disadvantaged schools, parents move their children to those schools in the last year. So effectively, that's what happens. So effectively, they move them in, they then excel, and they knock out the kids who might have got to college. So how do we ensure that every child gets the best advantage? We look at the DESH scheme in Ireland, which effectively has pumped a lot of resources into disadvantaged schools. Look at the participation rates for DESH schools through our university system. They have been rising consistently. So effectively, we are doing a very good job at ensuring that every child in this country gets the best opportunity they can. We also have expanded hugely the opportunities through bringing in the new tertiary degree programs, expanding the apprenticeship system up to about 70 different apprenticeships with degrees associated with it. So this generation of young people in this country have never had a better opportunity to actually excel to what their potential in terms of their capacity and their interests are. That we have a residue of what we have, schools that never joined free education, that dominate whole geographic areas of South Dublin and a number of other places throughout the country. That's a historic anomaly. The teacher salaries are paid by the state. Nothing else is paid. They have to fund their own building programs. The actual ratio of teachers to students is lower. So effectively, they have less students or less teachers paid by the state. So we have done whatever we can, I think. And other than turning around to those schools, how can you force them into a government scheme and say you must accept and you must accept what the state pays? Do you think parents aren't going to subvent that? You know, at the end of the day, every parent, as I said to you, Andrea, will do whatever they can for their own children. And I don't think any democratic society should try and stop them doing that.
Just finally, Brian, do you see the issue around private schools and private school ownership? Do you see that becoming an election issue?
I don't particularly, because to be truthful, you know, if you look at the geographic areas involved, all the schools are effectively private schools. In some geographic areas, the parents want to send their children not to a private school. effectively they're going to have to travel some distance. And, you know, as I said to you, beyond, and we call them private schools, they are just the schools that are not in the government free education scheme. The other institutions that are out there that are, you know, independent completely of the school system, they are full to the gills. And if we were in any way to try and disrupt the private schools, all that would happen is they would multiply, and effectively these schools would be outside any control system. It would be based on totally
people
money.
Want to pay
and those
and
with the largest amount of money would actually be the people who would get the advantage.
There you go. Brian Mooney, guidance counsellor and Irish Times education columnist. Very interesting. Graham, Lucy, Martina as well. Thanks a million for getting in touch with us. Just talking about this, plea, if you want to call it that. The universities in the UK been urged, just urged now, to take no more than 10% of students coming from some of the private secondary schools there. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.